Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as we've come to chapter 11 in the book of Ecclesiastes, we are finding some expansion of what it means to live wisely, or to put it another way, to live according to wisdom, that is, according to God's truth. And you remember, that's the one ingredient that Solomon says will make the difference between living a life of emptiness, of no fulfillment, of dissatisfaction, or, on the other hand, living a life that is full and satisfying here upon the earth, and of course is just a predicate to the life to come, which will be perfect, which will be entirely satisfactory in every way. Here in this world, because we are fallen sons and daughters of Adam, because we live among people, all of whom are also fallen sons and daughters of Adam, in other words, have a sinful nature. And because we are living in a world that is under the curse because of sin, therefore, things in this life, in this world, can never be perfect. They can never be completely right. They can't. Sin has destroyed that possibility. And that is what makes life frustrating for some people, is because they have this expectation that things can be perfect if we'll just work hard enough at it, and of course they can't. Now this discrepancy between what our hearts desire and what is possible is, I think, another revelation from God to the truth of the Bible. The Bible that tells us that things are not the way they ought to be because they are not the way that God originally created this world, but they have been marred by sin. But you see, that's the only explanation that is correct, that's the right explanation. And if you don't know or will not accept that explanation of things, then you are going to be perpetually frustrated. Yes, you will be eternally frustrated as well, but you will be perpetually frustrated here upon the earth. And so when people live in a world in which the world can never meet their expectations, we ought to have perfect justice in this world. And I'm going to protest until that is accomplished. We ought to have no racial discrimination in this world, so I'm going to protest until that's accomplished. We ought to have equality in this world, so I'm going to protest until that's accomplished, and on and on it goes. We shouldn't have any poverty in this world, so I'm going to protest until that's accomplished. Good luck with that. None of these things will ever be achieved in this sin-cursed world. Never, ever, 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 ever. So, does that mean that life is impossible to enjoy, that it's impossible to be fulfilled? No, it is very possible to live a fulfilling life on earth if you are living it in the light of God's wisdom. Wisdom, which is taking God's truth and applying it to every area of life. And if you will do that, you will be fulfilled in a fallen world. But if you don't do that, you will be continually frustrated in a fallen world. take your pick. Which will it be? I choose to live in a fallen world according to the wisdom of God, and finding, therefore, the fulfillment which employing that wisdom gives to life. And so we'll continue this on this Monday, February 1, thanking you for joining us and thanking you for remembering that we are dependent upon the financial gifts of God's people in order to continue this Bible teaching ministry. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I have entitled Joyful Living, which is how to enjoy life in a fallen world. That's what we're talking about in this chapter. And the chapter opens by talking about wisdom with money, but probably not what first comes to mind when you mention that phrase, wisdom with money. And I talked about this on Friday, so I'm not going to return to it completely, but I do touch upon it again lightly. But you remember that in these first two verses, some people think this is talking about investing your money, but that really doesn't hold up to close examination of the text. What it's really talking about is giving your money, wisdom in giving. And to give wisely is to give expectantly. As you give, it will be returned to you. I'll read the verses again. Cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. So we are to give expectantly, knowing that God has promised a return for those who give. We need to give generously as much as we can. We give a serving to seven and even to eight. Don't withhold for fear of the unknown, because God promises a return. It really is true. It is thought sometimes to be a rather trite, maybe even a bit of a self-serving statement when you hear preachers say something like, you can't afford not to give to God. But that actually is the truth. You can't afford not to. Because if you do, with the right heart motive, you will always have money to give. For those who desire to give, God is going to see that they are supplied with the resources to do that. If you have a giving heart, a generous spirit, want to give, God's going to give you the resources to enable you to fulfill that desire. So you are going to be far better off giving than if you withhold. Contrary to the wisdom of the world, that doesn't make sense non-biblical viewpoint. That doesn't make sense. You'll always have more if you keep, if you save, if you invest, if you work at enlarging your resources yourself, if you learn how to multiply your money through investments and other means, then you're going to have more. If you give it away, and it doesn't have to, of course, mean, and this is not teaching us to give it all away, but if you give it away, then you don't have it. It's gone. You're without it. You've given it away. You've given away what you need in order to become financially prosperous. You've given away the means by which that is accomplished. So it would seem, but cast your bread upon the waters, for they will find it, for you rather will find it after many days. It comes back. And that's God's doing. God brings it back. God brings it back with interest. God brings it back with abundance. As Jesus said, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's what the Bible teaches us. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, heaped up, shall men give unto you. If you give, God gives to those, God returns to those who give to him. And to give to him, of course, means to give to those objects in life that God says we should give to. And I'll leave that alone for now, rather than try to spell that out, because that would take too long. That's a whole theology of giving. But if we will obey Scripture and be givers, instead of hoarders, instead of takers, we learn to be givers, then God will give to us, and we really can't afford not to give, because to be unwilling to give is to cut yourself off from the divine blessing and the divine supply, which assures that you will always have enough. If you're going to always have enough to give, then you'll certainly have enough to live, right? You'll have more than enough to live on, because God is going to see to it that you've got enough to live on plus a surplus to give. So you really can't outgive God. That's another saying that we hear. And what does that mean? It means that those who give to God get receive from God in return. So give expectantly, give generously, give patiently. After many days, it will come back to you. So there is a way to make money fulfilling in life. Earlier in Ecclesiastes, we learned that money cannot produce fulfillment in life. It really cannot if it is looked at as a means unto itself. I'm going to find fulfillment, I'm going to find satisfaction in life by pursuing, making money, getting money, multiplying money, becoming wealthy. Well, that won't do it. Money cannot produce fulfillment in life. But follow godly wisdom with your money. Spend it wisely, live below your means, save, and above all, give, and you will find fulfillment in life. Why? Because God will repay, because God will bless, because God will fill your heart with joy and satisfaction, because that's what God says He will do. Now, the return at times may seem delayed, and there's reasons for that, I'm confident. One is to test whether you're doing it, and this is to reveal your own heart, to test whether you're giving as unto the Lord, giving to please Him, giving by faith, that is, according to the Word of God. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting accordingly, to see if you are giving for the right motives, for the right reasons, as an act of worship to God, as an act of obedience to God, as an act of faith in God, to see if that's why you're giving, or if you are giving as sort of a heavenly slot machine, that if I put so much in and pull the lever, I'm going to get more out. And it didn't happen. It didn't. See, God, it will happen for those who give with the right motive, but it doesn't always happen immediately, but it will happen. The delay will test our faith and our motives, but you can be certain that every promise that God makes is true. He does not make any empty promises. He does not fail to fulfill any of His promises. And so, when it comes to money, wisdom and money, that means learning how to give the way God tells us to give. And if we learn the grace of giving, if we develop the grace of giving in our life, we will find this to be a very fulfilling area of life. We will find great joy. The Lord loves a hilarious giver, and we will become a joyful, hilarious giver if we learn to give God's way. It will produce much joy, much satisfaction in life. And the quicker you learn that, the more fulfilled you're going to be. May God help you to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.